Good evening. I'm calling to order the Board of Directors meeting for Oceano Community Service District on September 23rd, 2009. Roll call, please.
President Mann.
Here.
Vice President Hill.
Here.
Director Dahl.
Here.
Director Dean is absent. And Director Lucy.
Here.
Please rise and join me in the flag salute. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items not on the agenda. Is there any public comment?
Nancy McNeil, Oceano. Basically, I'd like an explanation about the events that happened at the last board meeting. I don't quite understand how a president of a board, along with two other prominent board members, who profess to be doing the people's work by passing budgets that are basically unsustainable and we don't have the money for them, that after that they can just get up and walk out of a meeting before the meeting's adjourned. So after the money was allocated, the president called a break. The president, without adjourning the meeting, while meeting is still in session, abandons her position, doesn't return from the break, just walks out on the job. The same for the other two board members. So I would say that they also abandoned their posts, basically went AWOL, walked off the job. Other people who walk off their jobs generally get fired. So I would think there would be some ramifications for these actions. Maybe the three shouldn't get their stipend for that particular meeting. I think at the very, very least that you owe the people of the town an explanation. And perhaps in light of all of this, that those three board members maybe assess themselves and consider their positions on the board and kind of dig a little deeper and question their own motivations for being here. So, again, I'm asking for an explanation from the president, the other two board members who walked out. And I'd also like to say I've sat on many, many boards. I've attended many, many board meetings at various levels, community organizing, nonprofit organizations, county boards of supervisors, state, federal levels. And in all my experience, I've never, ever seen such a spectacle of a board president walking out on an open session.
We all stood together. When I was aboard ship during the Korean War, if I had abandoned my post, it would be the brig. Maybe worse than that. I want an explanation. Not only that, but I think the public deserves an apology. More than that, if not, resignations should be offered. I'm sorry that I have to be so grim and speak to you this way, but I've never seen anything like it. And why should Oceano embarrass himself? I'd like to speak to the fact that we have a democracy, and that in fact this television makes our government transparent. If it wasn't for the two members that talked about our crisis, our financial crisis, it would have been hidden. I knew nothing about the fact that we have no budgets, no accountings. I want to thank those two. And I'd like to see you reorganize, come together, and lead this town. Gosh, we need leadership. And lead this town because I think we've got the greatest potential of any community here. I really believe it. We've got the water. And we are the wetlands. We've got the beach, the ocean. And everything has been taken away from us. You are our first government, and you should act like one.
Thank you very much. Any other public comment? If not, seeing none.
May I make a quick point of order or comment? The agenda on my copy, which I believe is the current copy, all of the subsequent pages after the first page say September 9th. And I'd just like to point out that that is September 23rd.
Thank you. It should have been September 23rd. So, but we'll still use it because it should be September.
That was the one that was posted.
Yeah,
I think it was.
Thank you very much. Do you want to take us into... we'll adjourn to closed session. Alex, you want to take us into that,
yes,
please?
Madam President, members of the board, members of the public. There's four items on for closed session tonight. Item 4A is a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1 to consider the appointment or employment of a public employee, the position under consideration being that of the general manager. Item 4B is a closed session also pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1. Also to consider the appointment or employment of a public employee. The position under consideration there is the interim general manager. Item 4C is a closed session also pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1 to evaluate the performance of an employee. And the position under consideration is that of the interim general manager. And finally, item 4D is a conference with legal counsel. It's a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9B to meet with the agency's legal counsel concerning pending litigation, that litigation being the Santa Maria groundwater litigation, Santa Clara County lead case number CV770214.
Counsel, may I ask a question? Can you, at what point do we get to discuss how the agenda is laid out? Because I'm having a little trouble following it. Would it be before we go into closed session, which means we're into the agenda, or is there, because there's no place on here where I could ask about the agenda on how we're going to proceed here? Because
you're talking about the order in which the four closed session items are taken?
I'm not sure if this is a continuation of the meeting that was abandoned without being adjourned properly, or if it's a new meeting.
I believe this is a new meeting.
Okay. So is it a continuation of the last meeting with just the stuff pulled over from the last meeting, the business that was not done?
I believe this is a
new meeting. Okay, because I want to know where that stuff went is what I'm trying to figure out.
I believe this is a new meeting, and these are the items that are agendized for this meeting. I didn't go back and compare the September 9th agenda to see if there were any items from the September 9th agenda that did not find its way onto this one. There may be or there may not be. I don't know.
Okay. And is there any place on this agenda where it can be...
when we're going to continue the business of the meeting.
We're going to...
Usually you adjourn after, isn't that correct?
You can have public comment at any point, I do believe.
Okay, but what
and,
I'm
or,
saying...
I'm sorry, not
usually,
public comment.
Usually you...
I'm sorry, you can have closed session, I believe, at any time. I chose to have it at the beginning so that these matters would be taken care of right away.
How long do you expect this to be hanging around? Until
that would be depend on my fellow board members.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll go into Kevin's office, the board. Kevin, can you remain out here while we deal with 4A, and then when we need you, somebody will come and get you, please? Let's go, Alex. You guys ready? Back in session, out of closed session. Alex, would you announce?
Yes, Madam President, members of the board, members of the public, with regard to item 4A, closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1, to consider the appointment or employment of a public employee, the position under consideration being the general manager.
Alex.
You can't hear? It says it's turned on. Oh, excuse me. with regard to item 4A, a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1, to consider the appointment or employment of a public employee and the position under consideration being that of the general manager, staff provided a report to the board and received direction, but no action was taken. With regard to item 4B, a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1, to consider the appointment or employment of a public employee, the position under consideration being that of the interim general manager, that matter was canceled and no action was taken. With regard to item 4C, a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1, to evaluate the performance of an employee, the position under consideration being that of the interim general manager, the evaluation was conducted and completed with no other action. With regard to item 4D, a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9B, to meet with the agency's legal counsel concerning pending litigation, the matter under consideration being Santa Maria groundwater litigation, Santa Clara County lead case number CV770214, the board met with legal counsel and received a report. No other action was taken.
Thank you.
Madam President, with
yes,
that,
sir.
Could I be excused? I'm
yes.
feeling kind of ill, and Ryan will take over.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Hope you feel better, Alex.
Board member items for discussion. Mary?
Can you actually start at the other end of the table, please?
Pamela?
I have none at this time.
Jim?
None at this time.
Vern?
Nothing at this time.
Mary?
Well, I think the public came today and they spoke regarding how we adjourned the last meeting, and I just thought it would be nice that if there was some kind of explanation from the board. It is an unusual situation, and you know, some people took it as AWOL and some people took it as an adjournment, and so I think just out of courtesy and respect for the people who elected us, that maybe we could maybe explain ourselves as to why people left their post, and then maybe hopefully we can put a closure to that and move on.
Thank you. I will say I went home at 10:30 because I wasn't feeling well. As you all know, I'm an old lady, and when I start shaking and I don't feel well, I have to leave, and we have a vice president, and that's all I'm going to say on the matter. Any other public comment? Or any other board member comment?
No.
Any public comment to that?
Amount of expenditure that was authorized by the board, which is $154,000, is included. I think that's an important part of the action that was taken last meeting.
You you check your... you see where that correction goes?
I believe that would be at the bottom of page 6 where it says the board approved resolution 2009-11. It doesn't say what was approved. And the amount I believe that was approved was $154,000.
We had it split two ways.
It's a 2-3 vote.
I don't know that
No. That was divided into two sections, was it not?
It may have been.
Yeah, I think a total
the total amount authorized.
Is,
okay. I did not record whether there was a division of that or not.
What was the total amount? Because I was a little confused on how the minutes were written up.
$154,000, Jim said.
$154,000.
I believe that's correct.
Yeah.
That's what
is that correct?
I saw on the tapes. But actually it came out to be different. But
if you saw it on the tapes, then that's what it was.
Yeah, but I didn't see it in the minutes written that
that's
way.
That's what he just said. It was left off the minutes. Any other corrections to the minutes from the board? Got anything else, Jim?
There was a mention of a attachment on item number 8D, which was the PowerPoint attachments from the presentation on water and sewer rate study, would be attached here.
Okay. Do we have sets of those? They'll be given out to the board and attached to the official minutes. Do you have anything?
Yeah, we'll attach those to the official minutes.
Did you have anything, Vern? Mary, do you have anything?
Well, yeah. Maybe I missed the meeting or something. Because on page 8 it says that we adjourned to closed session.
No, we didn't adjourn to closed session.
Well, then maybe I'm looking at the wrong minutes then. September 9th, right?
Right.
Wednesday, 6:30. So mine say, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that we went through, well, it says the yeas and nays on...
Director Lucy, if you look at item 11A and read through the whole closed session verbiage there, closed session pursuant to government code section, and you come down to the very end...
Yeah.
In bold, it says item tabled.
But it wasn't tabled.
That was the term we used for every item after adjournment. So maybe if...
Table's probably not appropriate. I'm honestly taking it off the entirely since it's not something that happened at the meeting. Probably
yeah.
Not appropriate.
So... Ryan, how would we want to... address that then? Do we want just a note after the adjournment that these items weren't taken up?
I think if a resolution was made noting that the minutes are approved as presented with the change to the resolution 2009-11 and cut off at a certain point. And I'm sorry, I don't have the last meeting minutes in front of me, but saying that it was cut off at that point after the meeting was adjourned, I think would be fine. And then the secretary could go ahead and make those changes.
So you're saying that we would take it at on 9B, under 9B, the last public comment, because C, D, E, F, 10... 11, 12, 13, 14, we're not done. Unless I wasn't here.
Yeah, at whatever point the meeting was adjourned.
Well, yeah, when it says right there, you announced that the president, Mann, Director Dahl, and Director Dean had been adjourning the meeting. But it wasn't tabled.
Correct.
And then not include those other.
And not include those. Those would be excluded from the final meeting minutes.
Okay. And can I ask that we have a little bit better, I don't know how this would go back on number six, but on the warrants, if I remember correctly, you know, it kind of was kind of an auction atmosphere. It went from $85,000 on the warrant discussion to $105,000 to $120,000 to adding the payroll to end at a vote of $154,000. Is that kind of how it happened?
I don't recall exactly, bit for bit, the increments that went. It went up. I know there was some discussion. Okay.
Well, is there some way we can clarify that the motion was for $85,000 and a motion was passed for $154,000?
Yeah.
Just so it's clear, because from this, it's not really clear.
Someone's got to make a motion. So.
Okay. I'll make the motion that we revise item number 9B to reflect.
Maybe it should be verbatim.
The warrant outcomes total amount voted on for the warrants.
Do you want it verbatim?
No, don't do it verbatim. I'm really looking for a total. That's what I'm looking for. Is an accurate number. So if I was to go back and look at this, I would know that they requested $85,000, but they had actually voted on $154,000. That's all I'm looking for, is just clarity on how.
I kind of think if I went back and looked at the tape, and perhaps you did, I think you would see that they realized they staff needed to put some more things in there that they had not considered.
Correct.
At the time.
Oh, I agree with that.
Thank you.
You know, and that should be in there, too.
Okay. I have a correction to the minutes. On the first board member items for discussion, for whatever reason, there was nothing in there about the comments I made, so therefore I would please like this attached. I'm not going to take the time to give them again tonight, but if you could attach these to the memos or to the minutes, I would appreciate it, because I certainly want that on the record. Now that we've made our corrections and changes, are there any public comment on the minutes? If not, looking for a motion.
I would move that the minutes of September 9th be approved with the following corrections: that item 4 include President Mann's comment that she gave to the staff to include that. Item 8D, include the attachment that is mentioned in the item, and that item number 9B, at the bottom under resolution 2009-11, state that the total amount approved was $154,000, and that following the discussion of the last public comment after that item, that it the closing comment be moved to that point and the rest of the material be dropped.
Looking for a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes carry 5-0.
You have public comment, Barbara.
You already did.
I had public comment on them. You want to come? I asked for public comment on them.
I'm Larry Bross. I'm concerned about the minutes of this meeting. I'd like to be sure that the questions that were asked to the members of the board as to their explanation of why they were absent be included in the minutes of this meeting. And while we don't have the same powers of American government to send the two members who did not answer any questions to Guantanamo and waterboard them, I'd like to thank Madam Chair for giving her explanation. And I'd like to ask the other two members again, why not take your time and answer the question?
Thank you very much, Larry.
Thank you.
Any board comments? If not, moving on to...
Transferred from contingency to fixed assets back in January. At the August 26, 2009 board meeting, the board authorized staff to solicit bids for the project, which we did, and we placed our first advertisement for bid, invitation to bid on September 12th in the San Luis Obispo Tribune. And our second notice was on September 18th. On that same day, we held a pre-bid conference meeting here in the conference room, and one contractor attended with a subcontractor. We went over to the firehouse, looked at the upcoming project, and we received bids this past Tuesday at 2 p.m. yesterday. And because of that, the original report in your board package was somewhat generic because we didn't know who the lowest and responsible and responsive bidder was going to be. Yesterday we held the bid opening, and I have since updated the report, and I believe staff has passed it out to you. Is that correct? Okay, so that is... Do you all have it? Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
When we open, what is included in this package is a revised staff report. I also included the schedule just for reference, but it hasn't changed from the generic staff report. Then there's a bid results spreadsheet that I'd like to start with. Upon bid opening, we had three bidders respond to the invitation. They were Widener and Associates of Midvale, Utah, Air Cleaning Systems of Pomona, California, and Newton Construction of San Luis Obispo, California. The lowest priced bidder was Widener and Associates at $27,739. Air Cleaning Systems came in second at $35,655, and Newton Construction was at $49,000. The way we proceed with that then is it's not just based on price, but it's also based on responsiveness and responsibility. Those are very important issues. It's not just price. People could sell you a much lesser product or give you a much less responsible contractor for a less price. So we perform a complete bid evaluation. In the invitation to bid and in the proposal portion of the specifications, we list what they need to submit to us to make it a valid, responsive, responsible package. That is represented on the items required for a completed bid proposal on the last page of this package. And you can see we've used a zero or an O for non-responsive and an X for responsive. So the apparent low bidder, Widener, was non-responsive to several items on the bid. And there were others that are not on this list that they were also either not responsive to, or it did not jive with the actual specifications of the project. They basically proposed on a different system than what we and the fire staff had requested to be bid upon. So they didn't, first and foremost, they didn't sign the proposal form, which sounds basic, like an oversight, and as part of the specifications, part of the boilerplate specs of the board. As the owners, you have it at your discretion to waive any minor oversights. It's explicit in the specifications. So that in and of itself might not necessarily be problematic. But it is a legal document that they did not sign. So you're not entering into any sort of a legal agreement with them, technically, because it's not signed. Secondly, they provided a contractor's licensing statement, but it is for a classification D4 license, which is for a central vacuum system. And the invitation to bid and several times throughout the specification package requested a or required a C20, which is for a heating, ventilation, or air conditioning system, which is more in line with what this system will be. The photocopy of the license they provided was, again, for a D4, not a C20. Their experience qualifications, another portion of the specs required 50 fire stations within the state of California to have this system installed by this contractor. Widener provided 55 firehouses, one of which was in the state of California, so they were 49 short. They had 55 total. But we're looking for, Oceano is looking for, not just a quality system when it's clamped onto there. So there's a difference, and they don't secure as well. And Captain Bova has requested this specific type of connection. So that's, I could go through the entire spec package and show you each portion where they were either non-responsive or non-responsible, or maybe even both. But I think I've given you enough information to why it's staff's recommendation that they are deemed non-responsive and or non-responsible. So assuming that, then we move, the process then moves to the next lowest bidder, which in this instance was Air Cleaning Systems out of Pomona, California. An Air Cleaning Systems submittal was found to be 100% complete and in compliance with the specifications, both on a technical and a providing of all the requested documents. For that reason, staff recommends that the board issue a notice of award to Air Cleaning Systems of Pomona, California. Do you have any questions?
Are there any questions?
Doug? And I take it you spoke to Mr. Bova about these recommendations?
Yes.
And this is...
He's adamantly in agreement with it, yes.
Is there any other comments from the board before I go to public comment?
Does the board have to find specifically that Widener is non-responsive?
I don't believe so. I don't believe so. No.
Any other board member have a comment? Public comment?
Could I just state one
more thing?
Sorry. There's in the current economic situation, when there are few bones out there for people to scramble for, you get more and more bid protests. So there's a decent chance that this will be protested by Widener because they might not agree with our findings. It's my strong opinion that a protest by Widener of this bid would have much less substance than a protest of Air Cleaning Systems were we to award to Widener.
I agree with that. That goes back to my question of why, should the board make an official finding that Widener is non-responsive? It seems to me that might be a good thing to do.
I agree 100%. I think that is a good point, and thanks, Doug, for bringing that up. I think with a specific finding from the board, a genuine finding of the board members that this is non-responsive or, there's non-responsibility here, that, there's no way to avoid a protest, but... No, I think a finding would be a good idea. Thank you for bringing that up, Doug.
Mm-hmm. And I could also, I'll work with our construction management staff who deals more with these specific way that these things work in terms of the bid process. But we're more than willing and able to document any of these findings to send to Widener if there is a question, and then the next step might be protest. Sorry.
You print out an RFP. You gave them clear direction.
Right.
You had a bidders conference,
correct,
right? They didn't follow directions. Was their proposal stamped, rejected, and sent back to them immediately when you found that they did not follow the directions?
That's where we run into a problem in this specific instance, because there are provisions in the specifications for someone to not follow directions. They could say, we don't want to be a C20. We're not a C20. We are a D4. Is that okay? And they could send us that question. Then we could issue an addendum that would say D4 is also acceptable. We could review it. The bottom line, the bottom line with Widener, they requested the bid package at about 2 p.m. on Monday afternoon, and they're in Utah.
See, this is what I don't want to happen.
Right.
Is that I want them to go to your appeals process. I don't want them to come to our appeals process to the last step. They submitted their proposal to you, right? That would be like interjecting in the middle of your process. You know, let them go through the steps. If they want to appeal the outcomes, right, let them go through the steps. And if they truly want to come down here and talk about, you know, dotting their I's and crossing their T's, then we'll go through that with them publicly. But I don't think they're going to want to take it that far, because you pointed out where they did right. not follow directions. When you're writing proposals, there's no room for wiggle room.
Right.
Deadlines, times don't change. You always get your proposals stamped, time stamped, you know, and they didn't follow directions. So
this was
so they
clearly
can appeal to you.
This, yes, and that is how it is launched. So we could begin that process. So, and a lot of this is going to be the upfront process, the entering into the contract, things like that. We can get all of that out of the way, even if there were a bid protest. So, and I can provide an update at the next meeting as to we're going to have some further steps. Notice of award is the first step, but if you look at that schedule, yeah. We go to notice of award, and then we issue the notice to proceed, and then we have a pre-construction conference, and then work actually won't start for another 2.5 weeks. Mm-hmm. So we have time in there where there will be some other issues going on, but we're going to be able to take care of everything. I'm confident and Captain Bova's confident that they can get it done in this amount of time. And there's a little bit of fluff in there too, or float would be the technical term.
Thanks. Any other questions from the board? Any public comment? Seeing none, bring it back to the board.
I'll move that the board concur with the staff's finding that Widener is a non-responsive and non-responsible bidder, and that the contract award be given to Air Cleaning Systems of Pomona, California.
Second. Roll call.
Vice President Hale?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes.
I want to take something out of order right now, since Doug's here. Let's go to 9H, the sewer rehabilitation project. I think you have some information on that.
I didn't bring that with me
here.
To the podium. It's just right here. I just
okay.
have to step back. Kevin's going to start anyway, right?
Right. I apologize for the late delivery of materials on this. However, as you know, this project's had a very, very short fuse. And it hasn't been made any easier by the State Department of Housing, which has taken so long to get the contracts to the county. Those contracts have now been received by the county. The county needs to enter into contracts with us, and they are attached in draft form. I got these contracts late Thursday, early Friday, some time frame in there. Was hoping that County Council would have a chance to review them and finalize them and then deliver them to your board in their final form. That did not happen. So they remain in draft form. I don't know when County Council will get them reviewed. Part of the problem is that there is we're fighting two things. One is a time frame to use the grant money. And if Doug, is it for the DRI funds that runs out September 30?
Correct.
Yeah, the DRI funds run out September 30,
There's no way we can spend that much money by that time, so we need to get a contract extension from the state, so that needs to happen. The other contract has a longer period running on it. And then, of course, we cannot do any contract work once the wet season begins. It's part of our environmental mitigation, part of the issue with red-legged frogs and other critters. So we're kind of battling these two time frames and need to get things done rather rapidly, so that's why it's coming to you at this late date and not even in complete form. The other thing that we need before I finish on the contract amendments, the board has a couple of options. You could approve the draft agreements in the form that they're in and make it subject to no substantive changes by county council, and it would be reviewed by your attorney, and the attorney would look those over, and if there were no substantial changes, then you could go ahead and have authorized your board president to sign the contracts. The other, and one thing that might help the board is the county council can't change the dollar amounts in contracts. That's something that's already been approved by the Board of Supervisors, giving you the money, the $720,000+. So that can't be changed. The other option you have then is to wait until we get the final contracts from the county, and then at that point in time, we would call a special meeting.
Change order number 5 that we signed as recommended by engineer. John Wallace signed it, and then the contractor has actually already signed it as well. They've agreed to the extension of 90 days, and then I brought it for signature. I just want to also point out on the staff report, under recommendations, item 3, it says as contract change order number 5. That's talking about the additional segments, and it should be either need to change. We either needed to change number four and 5 get confusing because 5 is time extension, 4
is additional
segments, which are 5 additional segments. So then it becomes confusing because it's number 4.
Somebody mentioned they wish contract 5 would include the 5 additional segments. It'd be easier to remember that.
I wish we didn't have to extend the contract time. Yes, that would have been great. But big wheels move slowly.
Yeah.
So Kevin, it wouldn't be a problem if we went ahead and voted to extend the contract for 90 days on change order number 5, but that that until you get the final grants, because it's just that I'd just like to look through these a little bit more, because there will be some funds to pay back the district and some of the past expenditures.
That's correct.
And I want to discuss that a little bit more in depth and in detail. Is that...
Yeah, so maybe the procedure would be to make a motion to approve contract change order number 5, and then we can discuss the county contracts.
And that won't hold things up or slow things up at all, will it? Okay.
No, by at most, it would be 24 hours, but... It's not going to be. Baker has already expressed the interest and ability in mobilizing.
Yeah, I'm not worried about
it. Quickly.
Yeah, I'm not worried
They're
about that.
They're pretty local.
I just want to talk about some of the past expenditures that the district has put into this and getting them recouped and put back into the
and
perspective holes.
I think that's a valid point. I'd like to point out that initially in the contract there was a. And I can't say I'm 100% versed with this new contract, but initially in the contract there was a percentage limit on soft costs.
Right.
And we had discussions with the county to increase those limits from a percentage of total cost.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if that's reflected in the new contract or not.
Because I know that HUD, you can go 12, about 12% with soft cost, but that you can ask for a special waiver or whatever they want to call it that can bring it up to 23%. But I don't know if that's what happened.
Especially with the time frame of this project's been so extended.
Yeah.
With the environmental review and then also with the funding gap.
Right.
I'd like to think they would consider it.
Right.
So let's maybe take this one at a time. Let's do change order number 5. Public comment on change order number 5. If not, bring it back to the board. This is to extend it 90 calendar days, no dollar changes.
Make a motion to approve change order number 5.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Director Dahl.
Yes.
Vice President Hill.
Yes.
Director Bean.
Yes.
Director Lucy.
Yes.
President Mann.
Yes. Now, on to the next portion of this. Kevin, what did we...
Well, it's a discussion then of the contracts. Just in summary, there had been some unexpended DRI funds and CBDG funds. In addition, the Board of Supervisors reallocated CBDG funds and DRI funds from other projects in the county, not initially to be given to Oceano, to Oceano. So, bottom line, there were some other projects in the county. They couldn't meet their deadlines, or their projects couldn't be going forward for whatever reason. Those monies were redirected to Oceano. So, the sort of four pots, unexpended DRI funds, new additional DRI funds, unexpended CBDG funds, new additional CBDG funds. And those are outlined in that email if you wanted to go over that. When you look at the contract, nice thing that's happened to the Oceano Community Services District, and we should be very grateful to Supervisor Cacho for his help on this, and staff member Tony Navarro.
So, Mary, was this... Did you want to say we would approve this as long as there were no substantial changes made by county council, or did you want to wait to see their changes before we approve it?
I don't think county council is going to make that many changes, to be honest with you. I don't, you know. Well, I can't speak for this county. I'm sorry.
That's our feeling too.
But they're not going to change the numbers, right? I'm more concerned about the actual dollar of how much it cost us to facilitate restructuring the sewer system in that part of town. And how much staff time and recouping that, you know, and did we have money, some of it come out of the water fund, some of the sewer fund, did we have any capital improvement projects where we had to pull money to keep the project going? I want to make sure that that money is replenished.
So
since they are going back multiple fiscal years.
I agree with you. We do want to go back and recoup that money. One of the conversations I need to have with county staff is, can we use any of those excess funds to recover our own staff time? And I don't have the answer to that question right off. But I do know that we can and are going to use that money to recoup past expenditures for, you know, the environmental monitoring, for the engineering work that had to be done, the design, the inspection, mm-hmm. preparation of plans, specifications, things like that.
Right.
Actually, I believe inspection, regardless of what the percentage limit is, inspection would be covered because that's brick and mortars. Bricks and mortar, sorry.
In this case, a brick. So all my concerns are is earmarking and putting back where it belongs. That's the only issue.
Yeah, we agree with that.
Yeah.
Any other board discussion?
It seems to me the best course of action is to authorize the execution of the contract and with no as long as there's been no substantial changes.
I'd go along with that because I'd like to. I don't want to waste any time with this either.
Public comment on this? Seeing none, bring it back to the board for a motion.
I would move to authorize the president and the general manager in consultation with district council to execute the contract amendments with the county and HUD, provided there's no substantive changes found.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Luthy?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes. Thank you. All right, now we're back to utility items. Once again, cleaning and inspection of the district water line. We have this every meeting.
Yes, and your prior item was about this subject, so hopefully within 90 days, you'll not have to have this on your agenda any longer. But until then, it's a requirement.
Okay. Public Contracts Code Section 22050C1 requires that if the governing body orders any action after the emergency has been declared, the governing body shall review the emergency action at its next regularly scheduled meeting and at every regularly scheduled meeting thereafter until the action is terminated to determine by forfeit vote that there is need to continue the action. So we've beat it to death probably by the board. Any board comments on this? Public comment? Seeing none, bringing it back to the board for a motion, please.
Move we continue the emergency.
My second.
Roll call, please.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
Director Luthy?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes. All right. The draft, we're next to the draft water master plan. Discussion and possible action. Follow up on the draft report. Is that you, Kevin?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. At your last meeting, you were provided a draft water
from the county come and speak on the county drought buffer as well as the county water master plan and the county open space or county conservation and open space element of the general plan and the status of the Prop 84 grant funds, if you would like. So it's just up to the board. I suppose one reason for asking the county to come, and maybe we could have both of them, the Wallace and the county come, is the conservation and open space element of the general plan does have a water section, and it does have an agricultural water section, both those topics, of course, of great concern to Oceano Community Services District. And the Prop 84 grant program, although that is stalled out because the the state investment pool that's in charge of selling bonds isn't going to be selling any bonds soon until the state's bond rating improves, which some people think that it is. But anyway, Oceano does have a good chance to get some of those Prop 84 funds because of our economically disadvantaged position and preference given to economically disadvantaged communities. However, I should add that within the county there is a predisposition to award the lion's share of that to Los Osos Community Services District for their resolution of their sewer problems should any of those funds come to San Luis Obispo County. I believe I've updated the board before on the Prop 84 program. A certain amount of money is earmarked for regions in the state. We're in what's known as the Central Coast region which stretches from Pescadero Creek in San Mateo County, includes parts of Santa Clara, San Benito, all of Monterey, San Luis Obispo, a little bit of Kern, where not much happens, you know, what Kern County looks like out there in the wilds, and Santa Barbara County. So San Luis Obispo County has had their region accepted by the state, as has some of the other counties in the larger region. So it is a competitive process, and there is a chance San Luis Obispo County could get nothing, I suppose, depending on how competitive we are. But it is something that may represent a source of grant funding for the district here in the future. So the recommendation is to just let us know the timing and the kind of scope of presentation you would like. And then, of course, after hearing the presentation on the drought buffer program, whether or not you would like language that was more expressive of the board's will, including in the draft master plan. Because right now the drought buffer language in there is kind of like drought buffer light. It's not very detailed. It just sort of mentions it. It doesn't lay out any plan, whether you would like to participate or under what circumstances or the costs or any of the things of this nature.
Board comments? Questions? Go ahead, Pamela.
Well, I'd like to hear from the county because I think it's an all-encompassing area. And I'd like to do it as soon as possible. We want to get these rate studies off the ground and the water master plan off the ground, and the rate studies depends on these things. And we also wanted to be sure that IRIS pre-staff had a ample time and input into this water master plan. But it's coming down on us, and I think it should be, maybe we could have it at the next meeting. Maybe we could plan it for the next meeting.
Meeting for October 14th.
It's 14th, yes.
Jim?
I agree with that. We did have a presentation previously on the drought buffer program, but I don't know if it's been, that's been probably prior to the last election, and I don't know if the program changes from year to year.
There's been some refinements, yes.
We probably, then I would agree with Pamela, we should probably have a presentation.
Vern?
Yeah, I agree also.
Mary? Okay. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, it's fine.
Mary?
I didn't hear what you said, Vern.
No, I'm in agreement it should come to the next meeting.
I'd like to see a long-term water plan and different alternatives. So if the county's going to come and present something that we've already heard, just let me know which meeting it is.
Never approved as final. So I suppose in a way it's kind of ruling. You had a draft that you didn't take further action on, but it's been somewhat of a guide to the district.
Okay.
Any public comment on this item? Yes, Mr. Bross.
As a layperson and somebody who never really was involved in any of the inner workings of the water system except for paying bills for 40 years, I would like to have, and again, please honor my right brain, so stay away from the facts and figures. Give me the concepts. Now, we keep hearing state water. I know we have Wells and we have Lopez. Am I correct? There are three basic sources. I know from 40 years ago we had Wells, because I remember. That's all we used to be involved with. So I need some history here. And some understanding of what really is happening. Somewhere down the line, we thought before this board was seated, we got involved with Lopez, and we got involved with the state. Now, what I'd like to know is this. Are we getting any state water? number one. How much? How much does it cost us, basically? Are we getting water from Lopez, or is that state water also? and what condition are our wells in? We hear a lot about salt coming up. Are we affected? All of these are questions that those of us who live out there want to know something about. So can you please help me, Larry Bross, with my continuing education? Thank you.
Sir, I think those are all excellent questions, sir, and you probably speak for a large number of our public in asking those. The draft Water Master Plan is up on our website, and that does answer a lot of the questions you have. It gives a wonderful historical overview. It gives a background, and it explains how
General,
we got...
General Manager, look, up until recently, you could have considered me a Luddite. But I do have the MacBook now, and I do involve myself. I'm not asking for a computer answer.
Okay, how about...
Thank you. That's a lot of baloney.
No, that wasn't...
Yeah, it is. I want an answer now from the board, on the top of your head, general concepts. Thank you, though, for referring me to my notebook, my MacBook.
I was going to offer to give you a hard copy of the plan. If you don't want that,
I want a soft copy coming from your mouth.
Ryan?
I mean, as a substantive answer, I've been doing work for the district for 3 years, and I'm just starting to grasp some of these concepts. I guess the board could answer if you wanted to. This is not a question and answer, obviously. It's a public comment period. So to that end, the board, don't you feel it's necessary here?
Madam President?
Yes.
I have a question. Maybe you could help me figure out, like, what percentage comes from state, and does the state water dump into Lopez, and what percentage is Lopez? And what I would like to know is if the pipe that goes from the dam to Oceano, Not the pipe coming out of the ground from the wells, but the pipe coming in to bring Lopez and state water, which I understand is mixed, is it sufficient enough to bring in 100% of the water that we have paid for?
Look, the question I'm asking is this. First of all, I was away from...
Larry, it's not... I have a question.
Yeah, but I know, but I was in there. The question I'm asking is that I was away from this place for 6 weeks this summer. I came back, and you remember, Gina, I said, you know, the water stinks. And it stank, believe me. If I was here for those 6 weeks, I may not have noticed it. But I mean, it was bad. Now, nobody told me what that smell came from, but that's fine. Was that state water? Was that Lopez water? Was that our wells? Why did it stink? Fair question.
Well, okay, in a brief summary then, we get about 300 acre feet of Lopez.
By the way, I do understand that Oceano is in the water business.
Perhaps, since your questions are so detailed, and you have an aversion to reports, we could meet later and I could discuss this with you. Because we are a little bit off topic. We're talking about our draft.
Well, had we had the meeting starting at the beginning and you would have your meeting later, we wouldn't be in this problem.
Thank you, Larry.
I'm not in charge of the meeting, sir, but I would be happy to meet with you anytime you find it convenient.
I'd like an answer for the public.
Madam Chair, what would you like me to do? Do you want to dwell on this topic?
No. We need to bring it back to the board for a decision what we want to do on this. Thank you, Larry. You can come in any time and talk to him, and he will give you...
I haven't had any real answer to my question.
I'm sorry. It's not a give-and-take question and answer
period.
Thank you.
bringing it back to the board now?
I don't want to do that.
What, do we have just a, do we want to see a motion, or do we want to just give direction to staff to arrange a presentation, and then we wanted to include Iris Priestaff's comments in the draft plan. I think we probably need to address the avocado site, so-called, in more detail than we have in the current draft plan. Those kinds of things, is that what we're looking for? It's just general direction.
Yeah, I believe I have the general direction, and you just summarized it. And might I add that the last speaker's comments are well taken, and the board may want to consider some sort of question and answer period at some point next month about all these kind of questions and the status of our water supply.
Well, and there is a Zone 3 report coming up later, in my report, and that does answer some of those questions.
Right.
Moving on to the draft sewer technical memo.
Madam Chair, just before you go into the draft sewer tech memo, which I don't believe will take very long, I will note that it's coming up upon the 10 o'clock hour.
Yeah, okay. Motion to continue past 10.
How long
would you like to continue?
Can you modify the agenda? Maybe you could take some of these things and table them.
It's fine with me. What time would you like to go to?
I don't know. I didn't build the agenda.
I believe you table the agenda items as you come up to them.
Yeah.
I think right now you just figure out a time that you want to extend to. You can extend past it. You don't have to go up to that
11.
Point.
It's going to take another hour.
Okay.
How about 11 o'clock? Is that too late, Mary?
Well, how about we extend to 10:30 and then look at it again at that time?
Okay.
Motion to extend to 10:30.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I'll make this. This is a quick one. You reviewed the sewer technical memo. There were no changes. We found three small changes. A horsepower on a lift station was wrong. It was 4 instead of 3. It commented that the sewer should be videoed every year. That got changed to budget annually for sewer video and conduct as needed. There was a note that telemetry alarms are relayed to staff. They're not. They're relayed to an alarm company and then to staff. And then there was a small printing error on the Oceano map where the boundary for the census place got moved 1 inch or so to the east, and I've given you the new map there. So the direction before your board was by board discussion, public comment, motion. Second, roll call vote, receive and file the final sewer technical memo.
Thank you.
And then we finish this project.
Any comment from the board? Comment from the public on this? Not bring back the board. Just receive and file, please. Okay. The water and sewer rate study, do we want to?
We probably should have a roll call vote on
that. Okay.
All right, roll call on the previous on the receive and file. A motion, I need a motion.
Move that we receive and file the modified sewer report with the general manager's comments included.
Second.
Both telephone and email the auditor's office, and I did not receive a response from them in answer to my inquiries. So I will continue to do that, but I've heard no adverse comments from the auditors.
Okay, I'll mention that to them when I talk to them. The senior auditor is going to review the information that we submitted last week this Friday, and then he hopes to have a time estimate on completion or draft or something, some sort of time estimate on when it'll be near done anyway, on Monday. And so I have arranged to call him on Monday, Director Hill, and I'll relay on what you just said. And perhaps he may have contacted you.
He may have contacted me later than about 3 o'clock this afternoon. But I did talk to his staff person there, and he was not available at the time. And I also emailed them.
I appreciate your effort on that.
Just out of curiosity, did anybody let the auditor know that we were going to have a board member check in every once in a while? Mm-hmm. So they were informed of that?
Right.
Okay.
Okay. The update on the state property tax?
You should probably get a report on this. This is a $67,000 question.
Okay.
I'm almost tempted to say $64,000. I think, as everyone here knows and listening, the state is in an extreme deficit situation and dire financial condition. I don't think that's any secret. And they've had to take some unusual and extraordinary actions to resolve their budget situation. As you know, there's a lot of partisan wrangling in Sacramento over how to best do that, whether to cut expenses or to raise taxes, with each party drawing up sides on that debate. One of the results was that the state legislature suspended the constitutional protections that we have for our property tax. And as you know, there is a state constitutional section that protects our property tax from being taken. However, under certain conditions, that can be suspended, and that's what happened. So the bottom line was that 8% of our property tax revenue is being shifted through a so-called loan from ourselves to the state of California. And we are not the only ones. It's every special district out there, whether it's a fire district, cemetery district, hospital district, water district, or community service district like us. It's all going to have this 8% property tax shift, as well as if they get property tax. Not every special district gets property tax. As well as every city and county in the state of California will have an 8% shift. So the bottom line for Oceano is a $67,000 loss in tax revenue. Now, in order to rectify this situation, the state legislature is intending to adopt so-called cleanup legislation that will authorize the California Statewide Communities Development Authority to issue bonds which will repay the special districts, cities, and counties for this lost revenue. The reason that works is the state is actually borrowing the money from us to be repaid in 3 years with interest. So I suppose it could be looked at as an investment opportunity if you wanted to, an involuntary investment opportunity. Somebody takes your money without your permission and then says, well, I'm going to repay it with interest. The interest rate is not known, by the way. That will be set by the Director of Finance at a later date. Anyhow, the bonds that will be sold by the California communities, all bond costs are to be paid by the state, nothing by any of the local governments. Local agencies have no obligation to the bonds. We're not responsible for repaying the bonds. It's a state obligation. And local agencies have no credit exposure. Our credit ratings are not used to sell the bonds, and our credit ratings are not affected by the sale of the bonds. Everything is the full faith and credit of the state of California. So in a nutshell, just to put it in a nutshell, the state suspended Proposition 1A, guaranteeing constitutionally protected property tax revenues, and has taken 8%. The local agency, such as ourselves, said if we thought the sewer rehabilitation project had short fuses, these fuses are even shorter. Things need to really be in place prior to November 6th. So it all hinges on the Senate reconvening in an extraordinary session, and adopting Senate Bill 67. It didn't come out under their last session, so some of the work, if you've ever followed how a bill becomes law, needs to be redone by the Senate before it can get to the floor for a vote. Senate Bill 67 also does another thing. It delays the hardship determinations until December 2009. And I think I've previously reported to the board that the Director of Finance is the one that has the final say-so over hardship determinations. He has said, I will grant no hardships until an agency has applied for the California Communities Loan Securitization Program, it's called. However, with the Senate Bill 67 not yet being adopted, the original statutory deadline of October 15th is still in effect, which is 3 weeks and 1 day from tonight. And to kind of complicate that situation, the Director of Finance, or maybe more precisely the Department of Finance, there are really no bad guys here, has not issued any guidelines or guidance whatsoever on how to make a hardship determination, although that clock is ticking. So anyway, the bottom line is if the bond sale through California Communities is successful, we will be made totally whole. The 8% will be restored to us, and we will get all our property taxes that we had expected to get for fiscal year 09-10. And I did have a little note in my staff report. One agency in San Luis Obispo County, there may be others throughout the state, actually views this as an investment opportunity, is not going to be participating in the bond sale, and will be hopefully receiving their money back with interest in 2013. So, the recommendation is that the board authorize the administrative assistant to enroll OCSD in the program. And the reason you can authorize whoever you want, by the way, but the reason I'm recommending the admin assistant, I'm not going to be here to follow through on the program. I don't know what the status is on bringing a new general manager on board, so I named a staff member, but it's up to the board who you would like to name. When you go to enroll in the program, the enrollment is open right now. You do need a name and a title, so I'll pass that on to you.
Pamela or Jim, you want to start on this?
Only the state could come up with Rube Goldberg financing like that. Comes to my mind Goldman Sachs and the whole mortgage securitization fiasco. That sounds like exactly what we're doing in the state. So the short story on that looks like the state's going to take our money and they're going to use our good credit rating, because they have no credit rating, so that they can borrow money from bonds to pay us back. Very, very strange. Nonetheless, this looks like the only way out of Dodge in terms of not impacting, because this what funds we're talking about here is property tax funds. That impacts directly our fire department, which is our also street lighting to a proportionate extent, but much less extent. And it directly impacts our fire department fairly dramatically. So it seems that if this would fill in that budget gap until the state pays us back, then that's probably the best thing we would do. And I concur with your recommendation.
I feel the same way. We need to enroll before they say the enrollment's closed. Pam, you got anything to say on this?
I just think there's no alternative. We've got to fund our fire department, and if this will work, and it seems like we don't have any other responsibilities related to these funds, and I'd say go ahead, let's do it.
Vern.
Yeah, we don't know what the interest rate would be if we did it otherwise, so without that, we're better off to just go ahead and do the roll.
Mary?
I agree with Jim. You know, we're being bamboozled by the state.
Disappears. Might be well advised to contact our state senator.
So what are you advising then? That
I'm advising you to
enroll.
Give ourselves a loan through the state?
Yeah, I think Director Hill said it best. This is the only way out of Dodge. And hopefully it will be the way out of Dodge. That's not even a guarantee. It's all you've got.
So as soon as we fill out the enrollment form, then we also at that time can proceed to file a hardship.
You can file a hardship. I'm not sure that is going to go that well. The director always said he's very reluctant to give any hardships unless you're already in bankruptcy. Further, the hardship that's granted to one agency becomes the tax shift increase to the other agency. So when the director of finance grants the hardship to Oceano, he's going to know that he's increasing the tax shift to every other agency in the county of San Luis Obispo, including other economically disadvantaged communities like San Miguel, for instance.
But it doesn't cost us anything to apply.
It doesn't cost you anything to apply, assuming we know how to apply. Right now, all we would know to do is write a letter saying we want a hardship exemption.
Yeah, I don't think that would fly very far. You know, I'm sorry about the neighbors, but we have to take care of ourselves first. And but I would like to go on the record. You know, I think we should apply, but I think we should go on the record saying that, you know, we don't particularly appreciate having to pay the interest on our own personal, giving ourselves a loan.
No, we won't pay the interest. The state of California will pay the interest.
So we don't have any increased.
If this goes, if Senate Bill 67 passes, we have no cost. We're fully restored to 100% of our tax revenue with no cost to us.
Okay, so then what is the opposition? My understanding is it was going to cost us to give ourselves a loan.
No.
With tax dollars that the state is holding.
No.
Okay, then explain it again to me then. Sorry.
You'll probably get the bill on your state income tax instead of.
Right.
So instead of seeing it on your property tax.
It's an obligation of the state of California to repay this with interest. So they took it from the special districts, cities and counties. They'll repay it to those government agencies with interest. So somebody's got to pay that interest. Who is it? Well, the people of the state of California. That's who have the obligation. And that would be repaid, as Director Hill says, through increased taxes, assuming the Democrats and Republicans resolve their deeply entrenched and held beliefs on tax increases.
So is there any reason why any special district would not put an application in?
Yes, there is one special district in San Luis Obispo County and maybe others around the state, cities or counties that view this as an investment opportunity. You're going to be repaid with interest. And
they're all in favor of it then? There's no opposition?
There's no opposition to this. There's no opposition.
We're not paying interest on our own money. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and move that we...
Pending public comment. Any public comment on this? If not, bring me back to Jim.
Okay, I will move that we authorize the administrative assistant to enroll the district in the state program.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Luthy?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Moving on to the 2009-10 draft budget. We've received those. We haven't
had a chance really to, I think tonight's not the time to discuss this.
Let's table it.
But I would like to perhaps set the meetings for two staff or two board members to meet with staff to go over it, and then the other two, and then one person by themselves, as we've done in the past, to get any questions answered or anything in there that we particularly don't want.
Madam President, I am fully confident that everyone is confident enough not to violate the Brown Act, but too many things could happen there where I would highly suggest that it not happen that way.
We send our budget suggestions via to staff. Is that what you're suggesting?
I think that's best
for staff.
Essentially, what they're saying is two of you would meet.
No.
Talk about suggestions and then send them on
you
to staff. And staff would eventually, after receiving all these suggestions, report them back to the board as a whole. Is that?
But Gina's saying, just send us your written comments.
No. I'm sorry. What we did, we had two board members and the department heads and the general manager met and went over the budget. And at that time, they gave us their additions or what they would like deleted, or any other changes that they had, and staff simply put them on a list. And then after the next two met, we do the same thing. And then when the fifth person met with us, this way you have a chance to sit down with the department heads and ask them to justify what it is they're asking for or why they're not doing something else. And then that letter would come back when the budget as a whole is presented at a public meeting, regular meeting, and then the whole board decides which are in or which are out.
And there's
wow.
We've got a lot of people sitting here tonight who are very concerned about what's in this budget. Can we just kind of go over briefly to explain what's in the budget and what's happening so that people actually know the facts? I mean,
there's some copies on the back table back there, a binder that you could look at. I think two binders. And there might be some other selected sheets on revenues and expenses. Whatever the board would like to do, I know you've had a customary way to handle this, and I really wasn't prepared myself to go over line item by line item.
No, just a brief overview. I don't know if you could do it with the pages that collate the budget summaries.
Maybe just over the summary totals.
Yeah. If we have the budget.
I'm sorry, but nobody can hear. I can't hear down here. I don't know how people can hear back there. What? So could you please repeat yourself?
I asked Kevin if he could look at the budget summaries that are in our budget here and maybe go briefly over those so people will know what's going on.
Well, what pages were you thinking of? 19, 20, 21
in
there?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
While you're looking that up, we need to think about extending for how much longer? It's almost 10:30.
How long do you think it'll take you to go through that, Kevin?
Well, it's kind of up to the board. It won't take me that long. Director Dean, maybe as we go, let's see, gather my thoughts here for a minute. 19, 20, 21. We have pages 19 through 22. I was actually kind of more prepared to go through maybe just fire, water, and sewer.
That would work. Those are our main enterprises.
Yeah, our main
so,
revenues. Because those
are the things that people are interested in and are worried about.
Sorry to interrupt you, Director Dean. Do you want to make that motion to extend on?
Yes, I'm waiting for them to decide what the time limit is. How much time, Kevin?
I'll only take like 5 minutes for these three.
11 o'clock?
Fun. We don't need to go that long.
What?
What else do we have?
Well, I move that we table the warrants.
Maybe you should take up some of the important matters, come back to budget, or make sure you have time for the important matters. Since we're on this extension thing, we need to make sure that we cover the warrants, as Director Lucy said. And I'm looking at this, I'm not sure that everything else might just be put off if you really need to. At least save time for the warrants with vendors. They're important to preserve.
We'll come back to this draft.
So are we still on the budget then?
No, I'm going to say let's look at some of these other things first and then come back. Can we table E9E, the responses to 2007-2008 audit memo?
From staff view, yes.
Is that all right with the board?
I want to take one point on this, and I want to commend you, Kevin, on revising these answers to the budget issues, or I'm sorry, the audit issues. There were a number of audit questions brought up by the auditor in years past, which is the audits we're working on now, and previous, and there were very substantial comments made by the auditors criticizing our methods of cash handling and other things. And I thought that I'd been very vocal about my opposition and my concern that the district's response to those questions was very flippant, incorrect, and that tradition had just carried forward into the comments on the most recent audit. And I commend you for taking this action to correct the inadequacy there and commit the district to properly in engaging the recommendations of the auditor.
Well, I thank you, and I express my regret in not being more thorough in the first time and apologize to the board for that lack of thoroughness. I regret that I hadn't answered more thorough on the first go-round.
This, I think, well makes up for that. You've done a good job on it.
I agree. Thank you very much.
Okay, so we didn't have to table that one then. The discussion and possible action on the mainframe computer. We know that Kevin has been researching some possible ones. Do you want to table that tonight, or do you want to try to talk about those?
I'd rather talk about it. For just a very brief moment.
Since I asked for this item to be on there, and I note that in our previous discussion, one of the things that we're trying to do is the rate study. We can't get information to the people doing the rate study, partly because the famous AS400 system is incapable of providing the information in a format. And we're not talking about a digital format. This is really an Excel spreadsheet. The AS400 can't give us information in a useful form yet again. And so somebody's going to have to manually enter data off of a tractor feed printout from 1912 or whenever tractor feeds came out. That they're going to have to manually enter all of this stuff in an Excel spreadsheet. Let's just look at our AS400 system. This is a dinosaur. It's a computer that's about 40 years old. And anybody who's familiar with computers knows that time has passed. There's three significant things. We're gonna consider a concept of having
individual things that can take down this system. Kevin has accurately stated that our AS400 system is the heart of the district. It's our utility billing. Well, we've got vulnerabilities. So I'm going to introduce you to the concept of a single point vulnerability. The AS400 has at least three. There's only one programmer in the county of San Luis Obispo that can program the thing. If that person gets hit by a bus, you're out of business. The operator, there's only one person here, that's Gina Davis, that operates the thing. If the operator gets hit by a bus, there's nobody else that knows how to deal with it. Third, there's the machine. Now, by all accounts, this is a sturdy dinosaur. The thing's been running for years and years and years. And even the tractor feed, although we keep getting bills for maintaining it, the thing is still running. But that's still a single point vulnerability. If that machine goes down, if it crashes, boom, you're out of business. Single point vulnerability. You've got at least three major ones on that machine, and you're out of business. It's long that we've asked for this to happen. 2 years ago, we budgeted to get a replacement machine. We budgeted last year to get a replacement machine. The budget this year includes getting a replacement machine. Nothing has happened. And I'm tired of nothing happening. So what I'm going to suggest is that we set a sunset on this thing, being 12/31/09. The end of this year, it's declared surplus, and we sell it on the 7th of January. And that's what my proposal is, and introduce a new system that the general manager can select. He's our interim. Nothing's going to change until the thing fails.
So you don't think that when we purchase a new system that the vendor that we purchase from, whoever it is, and I don't care what kind of system, we get whatever is the best that we can afford, is going to say you need to run dual for a few months?
Okay, run dual for a couple of months. We don't really even know. I mean, I've asked for stuff like a month ago I asked for the status of our reserves. Nobody can tell me. You can't get that out of the machine. Nobody knows what the status of the finances are here, bottom line. And you're not going to get it out of that. So it's time to just say enough is enough. We're going to sunset the thing, get rid of it, bring in something else.
President Mann, can I ask you a question?
Yes. You may.
Okay. Don't rip my head off here.
Why not?
Is there opposition to setting a date? Because I think from historical points, there is an argument. But is there opposition from the board members to actually say, okay, we're going to make a motion and we're going to pick this timeline or this time frame? What would be the opposition besides the messenger?
I would look at a resolution or suggestion that we have a new system in by such a date, not saying that you're going to throw that one away until the double time has elapsed by the new vendor who says you need to run so much dual. I don't mind saying that we will have a new system in here by December 31st.
Because I can't.
But I'm not going to say you're going to throw that away whether you have one here or not.
Yeah. So is there some way that as the president, that you could word a motion that would kind of give us a... Am I missing a joke here or something?
No,
Davis or anybody?
I'm sorry.
No, I was just watching the facial expressions, and I thought maybe I missed something.
I would like to speak on it, too, when you get a chance.
Okay.
So what I'm trying to do is to get us all to a point
I'm not very good at drafting the resolution.
Okay.
But I have no problem with us saying that we are going to pick a new system with the help of our new general manager that we will have by that time, hopefully. That we will have a new system picked, and I don't know whether they could install it between now and the end of the year or not, but have it picked and contract signed or whatever you want to say so that you know you've got that new system coming. I'm not going to say I'm going to throw that one away until the new vendor says it's safe to throw it away.
Okay, so I think you pretty much summed it up and can put that into motion that will move forward and sunset any new stuff going on the AS400.
I mean, I'm not going to, I don't want to throw it away.
March 1st. I'm not saying throw it away.
But that wasn't what was being said. You know, I just want to be sure
I'm just
that those
trying to
go out.
Right. Figure out what the opposition is besides the messenger who came up with it.
But it had nothing to do with the messenger.
Okay.
Pamela, you want to speak to it?
This has been a goal of ours for years and years. The problem being on this board is you can't get quarterly statements. You can't get semi-biannual monthly statements. You cannot get any information from it. And so we're operating in the dark until we get a budget that's later. And it's really uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for all of us because we're supposed to be the stewards of the ratepayers' money. So I'm all for changing this system out. One of the things you may have to look at besides the software is our hardware is really, really old. We were looking at Kevin's computer, and his is really, really old, and I don't know that you can operate some of these things. So it's going to be more costly than a $20,000 set aside here. One of the other things is we have to wait for the new general manager to come in and get a feel for what's going on, and then to see what he, along with staff, think will work for our district. We may have to go and look at Nipomo's. Heritage Ranch has one of these. They need to probably make some field trips and talk to people and see what
schedule of when this thing comes in, and you have accountability and you have something to go by. But to sit here and choose a date into the future to declare something surplus, you don't surplus a piece of equipment that you have in service while it's in service. It's because you don't know what can come up. It's kind of like taking a person that has a bad heart and go, yeah, you got a bad heart. We're going to have to get a lot of problems with that. And we're going to have to get that thing out. So we're going to schedule your surgery for December 31st, and we're going to take that thing out. No matter what happens, what the problems are, and whether we got another heart or something on the line or not, we're going to do it. We're going to get that scheduled and get that taken care of. And
Vern,
so
let me ask you this.
No,
is
not
2 years enough time?
Yeah, I'm not done talking. And so, so what we need to do is we need to come up with, as soon as the new general manager's in, have him research it and come up with a time frame and a timeline as to when is feasible and certain dates that are feasible to do this, and request that it's done as quickly as feasible. But to sit here and think that we have the expertise to say what date is feasible to have this replaced by is not accurate.
Let me ask my question again, Vern. Do you think 2 years is enough time?
I would think it should be more than enough time, but it's
already been 2 years, Vern.
Okay,
why I'm so frustrated with this. And if we, again, don't set some kind of a direction and make it enforceable, once again, this is just going to dribble on like it has, because we've had policies like you're advocating, and they get us nowhere. And it's time to sunset this thing and get another system in place.
Do you think we could perhaps say by the first meeting in November, our new general manager will have that he will have to have a suggestion on which system to go with or a time frame?
That would be acceptable. First meeting of November, I'll write that down.
We're still talking about it.
Make a motion.
Well, wait a minute. I'm trying to decide how I want to say it. That Excuse me. The new general manager, by the first meeting in November, will give us a time frame of when the system will be replaced. Is that acceptable to you?
That would be acceptable, and I would expect that we'll have milestones, and we'll have a target date, and we will have the system that we purchase, and we will do our parallel run.
And he might say it's going to take 6 months.
And he may say it's going to take 6 months. And at the end of that time, I would also request that when the general manager makes that commitment to us of however long it's going to be, that the board sunset the machine as of that date. Because I have no faith from what I've seen in the last few years, including budgeting for this thing every single year, that any action is going to be taken.
Use your mic.
Well, when he, being the devil's advocate here now, the new general manager would say, I like System A. And I think System A, they tell me that System A can be installed in 6 months. And the company, System A company, says that they would want to run parallel for 3 months. What happens at the time of the 3 months are up and System A is still saying it needs to run parallel a little longer, and yet you wanted to sunset it?
I'd be perfectly willing to grant them 2 extra months.
Yeah, you can overtry, you know, you can change by resolution any sunset that you put on any.
Okay.
I mean, anything can be modified with
okay.
the majority
okay.
of the board.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is that acceptable with you?
Certainly.
Okay. My goodness, we agreed on something tonight.
I'm completely reasonable, but I want that thing gone.
Any other board discussion on this?
I don't know that you're giving... Well, first of all, we don't have a general manager yet. And November may be... I mean, you may say from the time the general manager comes on board, maybe you give him a couple of months to figure it out. And that's really fast, actually.
Yeah.
That's really fast.
Well, he might come back to us and say, I need another month or 2 months. And we could certainly... I would think we could table the... Directors report to the district representatives. Mm-hmm. And then, so let's go to the warrants, please. And then we'll come back to the other thing that we have. Has everybody had a chance to look at the warrants?
Yes, I have. I have a comment on page 2.
Okay.
Under Miner's Ace Hardware, item, there's the second item from the top says...
Can you use your mic?
I'm sorry. The second item from the top on page 2 says 4171 R&M OC credit. And then I look across, and it's carried as a charge instead of a credit.
The second line should not say credit.
Okay, so that was actually a charge instead of a credit?
That's correct.
Do you have any others, Chuck?
I recall signing 3 warrants for firefighter payroll. I don't see those on here. That was prior to the last board meeting. I believe they were signed by President Mann and myself.
The ones that were for the period ending the 12th?
I don't recall what the period ending was, but I recall seeing 3 warrants.
Please speak into the mic.
Wouldn't it have been the payroll before that wasn't included last time?
Well, if it wasn't included last time...
Well, I'm just guessing.
Yeah,
I know it was a 3.
I'm just asking.
Yeah.
where those warrants end up in the greater scheme of things, because I don't see them here.
Did the other payroll there, Jim?
There's only one.
Just there's supposed to be two. The first time, mm-hmm. And those would be those checks that we signed, I believe, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Director Mann, I have a couple questions. If you're done with that,
if he's done.
Well,
you
are missing that one payroll.
Yeah, where's the payroll? I can see that.
Okay. All right. Now, you've got questions.
So, if at the last board meeting when the auction happened, the bidding ended at $154,000, but the warrants came up to $166,375.92, which gave us $12,375 over budget. So why do we approve the warrants if what's the point? I don't understand. If we're just supposed to rubber stamp them and go along with the protocol, then I can do that. But I just need to know when I'm supposed to rubber stamp it and when I'm really supposed to look at how the money's spent. So do we deduct the $12,375 that you went over budget from the last warrants and carry them over to these warrants?
Let me ask one question before you continue, Mary, if you don't mind.
I'm just confused.
No, because you will need this information.
I'm sorry, I got lost.
All right, the warrants for the payroll that is missing.
Right.
Is it included in the total that we're saying we've paid now?
No.
No. So, but it was supposed to be.
It should have been, yes. Yeah.
So it would have been that plus the $12,000, Mary says, more than what we...
Yeah, $154,000,
but you also had money from the previous board meeting that would have covered what you would approve last time. The $154,000 was to cover the new ones that are in here now.
Mm-hmm. That came to $166,000, not $154,000.
Where are you picking that number off?
Off of the warrant summary.
Plus what was approved the time before, because you did not approve warrants. But you authorized money for the next batch when you would be approving two sets, which is tonight.
So the warrants that we didn't approve before were only for $12,000?
No. No. I don't have last times with me.
I do.
So this payroll period ended on September 9th. It's now September 23rd, so we've incurred almost another complete payroll cycle, which is included in the $154,000 that was authorized.
Well,
so would it be fair to say
kind of
that we're missing a payroll in here?
Because this goes back to the interim funding authorization.
Speak in the mic.
As well as the warrants, but my concern persists.
Suggestion.
I keep going back to the missing payroll.
You're right. You're short that payroll.
Is that the one between the 9th?
No. No, it would be before the 9th.
Okay, so.
When we set these numbers, we advised the board it was our best estimate of what might be spent. If you really want to only spend what was authorized for a period of time, and I'm looking at this here, it's not clear to me that all these warrants are for the $154,000 period of time, which was, I don't have the action in front of me, I think it was September 9th through September 23rd, but it could have been September 10th through September 24th. That's kind of more what I'm remembering. So, but if you want, then we're going to have to look at some of these warrants and eliminate the $12,000 if that's what you want to do. And then when you go to do your revised interim funding for tonight, we should probably add that number on so we don't get into this situation again. And then plus a little more.
Plus the other payroll.
Plus the other payroll, plus a little more, just so we don't end up in these arguments all over again. We guess best, not high, nor low. We guess best.
All right.
The alternatives are to approve the warrants or to go through the warrants and take off, you know, $12,000 worth and not pay him this time.
The magic hour has approached again. Looking for a continuation.
I move that we table the warrants.
I'm looking for a motion about whether we continue this meeting. And if so, for how long?
Okay, I'm going to make a motion that we pay the warrants, we approve the warrants.
That's not what I'm asking.
I know that's not, but you didn't get it, so I was going to make that motion.
But
I well, President that. Mann, I have too many questions still before
there's
I...
A motion.
There's a motion.
Motion and a second. You have a second on the floor.
Yeah.
And what's the first motion? I'm sorry. To extend the meeting.
The motion was
I was
to
trying
approve
to find out
warrants.
About extending the time.
She's yeah. talking about time. He's talking about money.
Yeah, the chair asked for a motion to extend the time. There wasn't a motion to was not a motion to extend the time. So Director Dahl made a motion to approve the warrants, and there was a second.
Who did the second?
I did.
All right.
So what? How much? How much he passing the warrants for?
As presented.
As presented, and what would that be?
It's right there. Yeah.
So is that amount or what it's going to come out to be? Because the last time you approved $154,000, you came out $12,375 over budget.
Yeah, I don't.
It's not 154 there, is it? It's what you wrote.
It's 166, but as Jim Hill pointed out, You're 11 days in to this pay period, which is going to end Friday, right? So there you have a complete pay period in there that's not calculated into the warrants.
Have those checks been issued yet?
No.
No, they haven't been written yet, Mary.
They won't be issued. I'm sorry. They won't be issued until October 2nd.
Yeah. So this is the motion now. Is these checks right there, are we going to approve them to be distributed? It's not talking about the interim funding that would be the next thing on.
Yeah, we're getting close and call to question.
Okay. Any
well,
comments?
Well, actually, you know, don't call the question because we as directors have a right to ask questions.
There has been a motion and a second made.
Right.
So you move on to board discussion.
CR in parentheses, and then on the other side of the paper it has CR, but it's not in parentheses.
That's because the line above it was duped, so it picked up the CR and it should have been removed. Would you like me to bring the bill in so you can see it?
No, I don't need to see the bill in. I that's not what I'm questioning. I don't understand how come there's parentheses
because
over here and not here.
Just what I said. Oh, because that's not the way it's printed. It's printed with a CR here.
But it means the same thing?
Of course.
Well,
if you don't want me to write it that way, I won't write it that
way.
No,
that's fine. You can write it that way. Just be consistent so I don't think that they're two different kinds of codes.
I could write out the word credit memo. It would still print this way.
No, it's just that when you see parentheses with something in it, and then you see it over here without parentheses, it could be a different code. That's all I'm asking.
You got your question answered?
Yes, I did. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Was there any direction to staff out of that from the board for changing the way we present the warrants?
I think I have a motion and a second on the floor. Is discussion finished? Any public comment?
Well, here we are. The three fiscally irresponsible, Misty, not fiscally responsible people are here wanting to pay these warrants. And it's interesting to me that the three of you bailed last time, so you put upon everyone this obnoxious meeting. Director Mann had an excuse. The other two didn't owe their bosses an excuse. And on the streets, people are not happy. Please leave your resignations. And this looks like a circus, a total circus. You should be ashamed of yourselves. And you should not be paid for that meeting that you totally failed the public, all three of you. I noticed that your checks were about max $600 each.
Call the question, please. Roll call on the... We have a motion and a second to pay the bills. Roll call, please.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes. Vice President Hill?
No.
Director Lucy?
No.
President Mann?
Yes. Motion carries 3-2. Okay. I think that takes care of everything except interim funding. Is that right? That's the only thing we have left.
No budget. No budget.
Please.
No.
That and the budget.
No budget.
I suggest you take up the interim adoption or the resolution for the interim funding.
Now, in this amount, you're going to include this payroll, the forgotten payroll.
Right. Actually, it will need to include two payrolls because you have the forgotten one, and this is planning ahead, so we'll need to cover the next one also.
If that's what you want to do, the amount shown is probably not enough, and you should add the two payroll amounts so we don't end up in the same similar discussion again.
And you've got anything else that needs to be paid that we're going to be killed if we don't pay?
This is everything that we have right now.
Everything that's come in?
Uh-huh.
Can I just point something out, and I want to make sure that I don't misunderstand this. We're talking about putting this missing payroll into this budget. Am I correct that missing payroll has been paid?
Of course.
Then
yeah, that's the law. I don't have a
right,
choice.
Right. Absolutely. I don't think you need to include it in this budget then. I mean, if the warrants have already, if the paychecks have been issued, warrants have been paid, putting it in the budget is kind of superfluous.
They've not hit the books, right?
Well,
I'm asking. That's a question.
Yeah, that's different then.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
The payroll, the missing payroll, so-called, has it hit the books? The answer is yes. It's the checks have been cut.
Yeah.
And
the checks issued.
It's been included.
What do you mean? It's entered into the books, but the register for it has not been given to me to include in the packet.
Can you give us a guesstimate on what you think that is?
No.
$50,000?
Well, what you're looking at right now, this payroll is about $30,000.
Okay, so we can say it's probably
the other one is usually more. So it'll probably be $40,000.
Okay.
Don't hold me to it, Mary. You're asking me to make a guesstimate.
I asked for a guesstimate.
Okay.
I have $206,000, right around $206,000 for 2 weeks of operations. Man. Well, in my house, we'd be eating beans and rice. Yeah. That's a lot of money.
And where
would it come from?
My concern is, where is it going? The last time I thought it was at a poker tournament. It started out with 85,000, and then it's, I'll raise you 20, I'll raise you 10, I'll raise you. Finally, you ended up with 154, and that's not enough. The thing that really concerns me is not the fact that, and Kevin, your point is well taken, that, yes, you estimated it, and you estimated it fairly closely on this time, and I congratulate you for that. My point is that what we're authorizing right now, let's make no mistake about it, is a blank check. This is not a budget. It's an authorization to blankly spend money. And under any circumstances, I am not comfortable with this, and I'm not going to vote for it. And let the lesson be well learned that timely budgets in a district such as this are of the utmost importance, and that's what the serious issue is here. It's planned spending. It's not blanket authorization to just go out and dump the taxpayers' money. So whatever number you authorize tonight, recall, there is no plan. This is a blank check. There is no plan. Sorry, but that's what it is.
I want to point out something, because there's, I want to clear up a confusion that there was a 166,000 in warrants and the authorization was for 154. You've been approving these resolutions for interim budgets on a two-week basis for some number of meetings now. Mm-hmm. And your last budget, or your last authorization, was for the 2 weeks from September 10th through September 24th. Some of the warrants that you got here were from last meeting. They do not reflect September 10th through September 24th, which was 154,000. They reflect an earlier period of time, which had its own authorization. So from staff point of view, we are did not exceed that authorization. Now we can spend a lot of time and go back and see if that's right. That's my view tonight at 11:10 p.m. without having to maybe give it as thorough a thought as I like. But your authorizations are for, it's clear, it's for expenditures during this two-week period of time, not for the expenditures that you may or may happen to get in any warrant list at any given board meeting. That being said, I have a correction to the resolution. The resolution, unfortunately, has last meeting's dates in it, and the agenda has it right. This is going to be for the period September 24th through October 15th. This resolution, in the now therefore be it resolved, very last sentence, it needs to say September 24th through October 15th. It said, where it says September 10th, that needs to be changed to the 24th. Where it says September 24th, that needs to be changed to October 15th. So when you go to vote on the resolution.
And just my casual observation that we're 3 days from the end of the pay period, so all of that money has actually been spent. And we also have the so-called forgotten payroll that's never showed up in the warrants. That money has also been spent.
Okay.
That is what I was explaining earlier. And that my concern is you also have the first of the month utility payments coming up and things like employee insurances that we have withheld from their checks that we know we have to pay.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully we'll be getting to the end of this soon, because we do have a proposed budget.
Okay. Quickly, one last thing. Quickly, Ryan.
Yeah.
Please explain what happens if we do not pass, do not approve these expenditures.
Okay. And I noticed the time's short, so I'll be quick.
Please.
About a month ago at a meeting, I suggested that, you know, really, without this interim budget, district can't keep moving. Last
well, we never know what we're spending or what we're bringing in. But for fiscal year, there is no doubt that you have not spent what you brought in or what you will bring in before the end of the fiscal year.
Just so
no budget or interim budget in May, April, May, June is a serious problem. Right now, it's a huge concern, but you're not running afoul of
By passing this, we give them guidelines. If we don't pass it, they have no guidelines.
That's essentially right, yeah.
So they could go according to whatever they felt they needed to spend.
Yes, and then the board's action after that would be approve or don't approve the warrants.
Mm-hmm. Which is what the board's action is anyway.
Correct.
So not approving these is even more of a blank check.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
That's my opinion.
Thank you.
Any more discussion?
No. I'd make a motion that we...
public comment?
Okay.
Any public comment? Seeing none, bring it back to the board.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we... approve these amounts requested by staff as according to the
say the amounts.
According to the report, which is $60,500 for salaries and benefits, $74,100 for operations and maintenance, for a total budget of $134,600 for the period of September 24th through October 15th, 2009.
I second that.
Roll call.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Vice President Hill?
No.
Director Lucy?
No.
President Mann?
Yes. The interim budget has been approved 3-2. I think that everything else we tabled.
Can I point out that the budget was passed after... after the meeting had ran over
1 minute,
3 minutes, 2 minutes.
We didn't finish the
legal issue?
Budget.
Yes.
Okay. Leave it go.
I need to fix that. There's it is a legal issue.
You probably need to extend the time.
You have to do it again.
Do you want
comment
to?
On it?
Well,
there's some important comments that need to be made.
Okay, we need to extend this for a few more minutes to go back to the budget.
I think we should extend it to 11:30.
I have a second. I'll second it.
Please, let's discuss this before we go to a vote, because... What do you want to?
Can you use a mic? Because
what do we want to do?
Just finish the discussions on the budget. We left that halfway open about whether we were going to meet by twos, what we were going to do.
I thought that had been decided.
No, it wasn't. We left that to go to the other things.
Okay. All right.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. What was it? Mary, was that a...
Yeah, I'm opposed to this.
Okay. Thank you. 4-1 to continue until 11:30. Jim, you want to start on the budget since you said you had something else to say?
Just note some of the highlights of the budget to give you a brief overview. First of all, it includes $250,000 rate increase in the water and sewer department. Given that that's $250,000 rate increase, given that we have 2,500 plus or minus utility connections, that's about $100 per customer, if my back of the envelope math works out right. And noting that we'll not be able to implement a rate increase until at least the first of the year, and that's probably an optimistic estimate, that means that that $100 rate increase would fall on our customers in the last 6 months of the year. And that $100 over the three billing periods works out to about $35 per bill. So be aware that this budget, as drafted, increases the average customer bill by $35 a month. It doesn't count the $50,000 in legal fees that we have, which, if that was apportioned, would raise your bill probably another estimated, especially in the water department, somewhat in the sewer department. But I'm also concerned with recommendations that may come out in the water and sewer master plan, where these estimates of potential expenditures, while I think they're more in line with what we spent last year, I'm not at all confident that they're in line with what we're going to see in the future. And it's imperative that this district come up with a way to cut costs. I've suggested that we reduce the administrative staff as a way to cut costs. And again, I would welcome any kind of a suggestion from my fellow board members or staff or anyone from the public who might have a good, any other kind of a suggestion on how we might reduce costs and lower the potential rate increase that would be necessary. But by the most, I would call it the most optimistic estimate, we're looking at about $250,000 worth of rate increases. Is that a fair estimate, Kevin, of what's...
Any other board member?
I have some other things.
Not yet.
No. You're talking only about rate increases. One of the things that has happened in this district is we haven't dealt with our house. We haven't changed fees for over 30 years on some things. So to get a sewer connection, if you're putting in a development, the charge is only $500. That is not enough to cover that. We need to get these things changed so that the development costs do not fall on the ratepayers. That is just one of them. We've got fees for will serve letters. We've got it at $30. You can bet if we were the county, we'd be at $500. We should not put these administrative costs for development on the ratepayers. We have given up in the past, and I've mentioned it before, and it fell on deaf ears. We have given up to certain developers. It's about $200,000 that we didn't collect, and now we have sewer fees that we are not collecting, and that's another $75,000. And I think it's time to end those kinds of things. We have brought the development fees and to the board, so we can have some purview over it and look and see if everything's being treated fairly. You look in here and on administration for collecting the sanitary sewer district revenues and passing those on and having to come to the counter and get those, we get $4,900 a year for that. That is way low. I know it's going to the same ratepayers, but my goodness, they should pay their share of collecting these kinds of things. It doesn't all have to go to the ratepayers. We need to get our house in order, and our house hasn't been cleaned for 30 years in some instances, and that needs to be addressed too. There is a lot of work to be done here so we can take the burden off the ratepayers, and we don't have to do that. And I do commend staff for sharpening their pencils and doing the best they can on the expenses. Revenues, we have just not kept up with what we should have. We haven't had a rate increase now for 10 years. The last one was 1998. So
this, we haven't been keeping our house in order. It's way too long to let that go by. 10 years is way too long, and it should be looked at 3 to 5 years. There should be a plan for looking at these 3 to 5 years and not let this go until we're way behind the eight ball now, and that's what's happening here. Nobody talks about these other things. There's a lot of other things to look at rather than cutting staff. Actually, now we have both of our account clerks have have resigned, and they're going on to other pursuits. So Gina is the only one here, and Kevin has resigned and will be leaving October 2nd. Gina is here, and Cindy is here part-time. So I guess we're going to get to see how it is when you cut the administration costs, or the administration right here, and it's going to be done because we can't keep people on board. It's very hard.
I think that we could build a little revenue. Not that, you know, a bunch of businesses are running to the area, but, you know, a buck's a buck. So do we want to put these in writing and send them to the staff, or how are we to do this? Two and two, have you figured it out?
I liked it when we met with the department heads, two staff or two directors at a time. You know, pick who you want to do it with, set your time with them, and then one of us ends up doing it by themselves. And again, we've got just a couple minutes.
2 minutes.
What do you want to do, folks?
It worked before.
I like the 2x2 thing that we did before.
Okay. Is that all right with you, Jim?
It's
Mary,
that way.
The 2x2? Okay. Mary, who do you want to do it with?
I want to do it the way legal counsel said that we run the risk of a serial meeting if we do it that way. I'm nervous in doing it that way.
After it was clarified to me, I withdrew my objection to it. I think the way that it was explained by Gina and the president is fine.
Okay. So. Fine.
So who do you want to do it with, Mary?
Do I have to announce now who I want to do it with? You, Barbara.
Okay, you and me? Sure.
To the curb, to the hubs, let's go.
Okay.
1 o'clock. Bang this puppy right on out.
No.
Come on now.
I'm going home shortly. 1 minute.
Does that mean okay. I go with you?
Public comment. Come on, and then let's go. This is ridiculous.
Thank you. In the 1 minute, let me say this. Let it be a guide that the strength of the community is in growing families. Keep that in mind when you're raising rates. People who have mortgages and kids. Okay, there are too many people like myself who can go along with, you know, a $35 raise. But a young family, the average rate that these people are making, the average pay, and the mortgages they have to contend with, or the rents that they have to contend with, you will be closing down water. And, you know, I know the way you close it down. You close it down.
Thank you very much. Yes.
When it's appropriate, I do have something that I'd like to bring to the board.
All right, fine. Now.
This was at the request of Cassie.
Oh.
And this is to Dear Oceano Community Services District staff and board of directors. This is a letter of resignation. I have enjoyed my time that I've spent with working with Oceano Community Service District, and we learned a great deal from my managers. Words cannot express how appreciative I am of Gina and Cindy for giving me this opportunity to serve the community. I cannot communicate to everyone enough. This decision has nothing to do with anyone who is employed by the district. I have enjoyed the time that I have spent here, and in a lot of ways, I'm sorry to leave. My family and I are moving out of state and are very excited about this new time in our lives. I realize this comes at a very bad time for the district, and I'm truly sorry in that case. It was never my intention to hurt the district in any way by leaving, but it is the right time personally for my family to move. My last day will be October 9th, 2009. Thank you for everyone for their support.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to thank Cassie for all of her work here, too. I think she's done an excellent job. I know she's done a good job on the minutes of the board meetings and things like that. I very much appreciate the work she's done.
Anything else? Meeting's adjourned.